Good morning, everyone. How many of you were here last night? All of you. Awesome. I was here. Wasn't that incredible? Powerful and fun. That's a word that we walked away with, too. It's fun being in the presence of the Lord. He loves to touch our bodies, touch our minds, our hearts. He loves to set us free to worship Him. And we believe there's more to come, right? We're only in the middle of the week. We want more. We're going to keep asking for more. Hallelujah. So I have the privilege today of introducing a tool for the prayer room for all of you. And if you're unfamiliar with that term or you haven't been tracking with us this week yet, a tool for the prayer room, put simply, is a way, something that we can take into the prayer room or into your quiet time, your devotion time at home. And it is a tool that you can use to help you stay engaged while meditating in the Word. And if any of you are like me, sometimes it's hard to stay focused for long hours. You know, you have many things running through your head, and I just want to say that that's normal. Welcome to the club. It's normal to feel like you can be distracted easily. It's not, no one should feel shame for getting distracted whenever they enter into the place of devotion and meditation in the Word. But meditation in the Word, that's the name of our tool. I'm sorry, did everybody get notes? You guys are on it. The note queen, Christy, and her team, Amy. You guys are amazing. They're in the back. They can't hear me, but they're amazing. Remind them. So, Revelation by Meditation, this is the name of our tool today, and it means what it says, very simply. We get revelation by meditating in the Word and on Scripture. And meditation is like a muscle. It really is. The more time you spend exercising a muscle, the stronger it gets. So in the same way, the more time you spend in the Word in a focused way, the longer hours you can spend in the Word, the more our capacity grows to be able to stay focused and engaged. 5 minutes turns into 15, 10 to 20, 20 to 30. All of a sudden, you're able to spend 2 and 3 hours in the place of prayer, in the place of meditation, and remain undistracted. Like, it actually can happen. And we're all on this journey of having renewed minds, right? So as we continue and give ourselves to the practice of meditation, it really is an exercise, you'll find that our minds will be renewed. There's a transformation that happens from the inside out. It's inevitable. It's going to happen, and it's fun. So let's look at the notes. One of the greatest gifts that Jesus gives to us is the understanding that we can experience Him in His Word. After all, He is the Word made flesh, right? He's the living Word. And one way we do this is by meditation. And this helps us do that John 15, abiding in God's Word. Experiencing God through His Word nourishes us, transforms our inner man. The Lord receives our pursuit of Him in this way as an act of worship. And He responds to the hunger in our hearts when we come to Him in this way. And as glorious as that sounds, it can be difficult at times. So that's why I'm introducing a tool. I first learned this tool in 2008 and by Kirk Bennett. I think you guys have probably heard of Kirk, and you know him really well, Bob and your team. He may have even been here. Has he taught you guys this before? So this is a reminder. Okay, it's new for some, but a long time ago. It's always good to have a reminder. So I first learned this tool from Kirk in 2008. I was finishing my last year in college, and I was a theology major, and so I felt like I had a great foundation in the Word. I was learning how to use commentaries and how to exegete Scripture and all this fun stuff, how to build sermons. I loved my hermeneutics class, homiletics as well, the sermon, learn how to build a sermon. But when I received teaching on this tool, I found it liberating. I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to revolutionize my devotion time. And it did. I no longer felt the pressure to go and find the opinions of man, what man had to say about Scripture. But I found that the most beneficial thing I could do for my spiritual growth would be to get in front of God and ask Him questions myself, right? and his Spirit lives within us, and Holy Spirit loves his job. He loves making known the mysteries of Christ. He loves revealing truth to us and transforming us, and this tool is absolutely one way in which we get to do this and experience this. So I'm thankful for this. I've been doing this for 8 years, and as of this last year, I've been doing it more consistently with a team. Every week, we get together in the prayer room in Kansas City. There's a small group of us, and we focus, we hone in on one passage of Scripture, and we lock into it until the Lord leads us in a different direction. And I'm telling you, the Bible is far more deep than it is wide. You may have heard that before. And we find that we're getting stretched in the place of meditation because we'll come in week two, week three on the same verse, and it feels like, I don't know if I could possibly get anything else out of the Scripture. I've been meditating on this for so long. I've gotten so much. And then the Lord shows up again and breathes on his word, and something new is highlighted, or we're reminded of a truth that touches our minds and our hearts. And it's just powerful. So this never gets old. You can never exhaust the knowledge of God. Amen. Anybody with me?
Amen.
Everybody had their coffee this morning?
Yes. Yes,
hallelujah. Okay, so the purpose of this session, I'm on B, Roman numeral B. Roman numeral, sorry, section B. The purpose of this, to teach and demonstrate and encourage the practice of the pursuit of God in any context. So you can take this tool and use it for yourself by yourself in your own quiet time. As I mentioned also, in a small group, it is really helpful to do this with a small group because the word says we know and see in part, right? So I may receive something in my meditation time that Corey may not have received revelation-wise, but it will benefit him by hearing, and vice versa. I can receive from what he receives in that time as well. So keep in mind also, I like to just say this, when you hear the word meditate, we use it because it's in the Bible. In Psalm 1, meditate on his law day and night. And I put this in here just because it's true in these days we have to mention this, but the act of meditation isn't like the Eastern version, which they use in Buddhism to empty oneself of everything. Rather, it's the complete opposite and a lot more fun. We get filled, right, with the Spirit of revelation and with God. So we get filled with the knowledge of God through communion and encountering his affections and emotions at a heart level. And also meditation, it's not passive. And this is something I've learned and am learning and will continue to learn, that I can intentionally encounter God. He actually isn't waiting for, it's not for me to go, okay, Lord, here I am, just do whatever you want to do. I mean, I can totally do that. He can totally show up. But he wants us to pursue him and ask questions. He wants us to dive into the word and believe that when we spend time in his word and talking to him, that we're actually going to meet with him and experience him. Okay, let's jump on down to E. Beholding and becoming. Has anyone heard of this principle? We like to call it that. The behold, become. You become what you behold. And developing the knowledge of God by constantly gazing on the attributes of God causes our hearts to respond by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, fascinating our hearts and beckoning us to come closer. I've included some scriptures there for you to look at later. Psalm 27:4. I highlight this. I'm sure all of you can quote it and know it. We're actually going to meditate on it today during our worship with the word time. Who can quote it for me? Yes, and gaze on the beauty of the Lord. So there's the one thing's really three things. I don't know if maybe math wasn't Paul's or David's strongest subject, but it was really three things, right? But three things that made up one important thing, which was being with God. And he includes in that, let's get into this place. And if anyone we can learn from in Scripture who was one to seek after the Lord and give himself to communing with him, it would be David. I love the Psalms. They're so rich with life and his encounter with the Lord. And so he says, let's gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Let's dwell in his presence and inquire of him in his temple. Those three important things. It's very key for us. We're going to go into that. So I throw that out there to say, yay, we're going to dive into that during our worship of the word time. Why meditate? I'm on page 2. If you're familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were considered wise and 5 were considered foolish. And now there's so much in this parable. We won't unpack a lot of things in it, but 2 central issues found in this parable, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, is time and the condition of the bride's heart. And there were 5 who had done what was necessary for their hearts to remain connected in love, causing them to be seen as ones who were prepared to meet the bridegroom, and then their lamps were filled with oil. If we look at oil we can look at it as a way of intimacy with the Lord. They were ready. They were prepared. And then, of course, there were 5 who were not. And I really believe that as we give ourselves to the place of meditation, we are going to receive revelation. We're going to see him. We're going to come face to face with him, leading us into an encounter. And revelation unto encounter produces transformation. Do you believe that? Sometimes it's hard to see, even in our own selves, because we can be our own worst critics. But it happens from the inside out. And so it's very important that we give ourselves and we can learn these lessons from that parable, that we would be ones who would spend long hours before him in his presence and be filled. Because no one can give, I can't receive hunger for the Lord from Christy's devotion time, right? Christy can't give me her hunger for the Lord or her longing. I am the only one who can develop that myself. And so it's necessary that I spend long hours gazing on him and inquiring of him. I'm moving through this kind of fast. I probably won't hit all of it just for time's sake. But let's go ahead and skip to the next page. Flip over to page 3. Without continually meditating on the word and setting our eyes on things above, the things of the world will look far more appealing than the things of God. We could lose faith and believe in God when feasting on the knowledge of God is not our primary lifelong pursuit and passion. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, our natural man does not understand and even hates the things of God. The only way we can begin to understand and obey the things of God is through persistent meditation on his word and teaching of the Holy Spirit. We must be taught by the Spirit, otherwise we have no depth. We want to be a people of depth, right? We want to be taught. We want our senses to be trained in the Spirit, and we can't do that unless we're spending long hours before him. Psalm 119, 97 through 100. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Oh, that this would be the longing in my heart. I say, Lord, I want to love your law. I want to love your word. I want it to be written on my heart that nothing else could take my heart's desire, that you would have first place in my heart above anything else. And if any of you are like me, it can be really, we can get distracted, right, in life. We can get busy with the things of life. Our mind can be taken off in a moment of the things of the Spirit, the things of the kingdom, and we can just get caught up in our flesh. But I am learning that if I continue to give myself consistently in this way to the Lord, then those become less appealing. It becomes easier to say no in a moment when something comes up in the flesh. You know, like it's easy to get aggravated. You know, I'm married, and I say now to my single friends, if you want to learn how to get sanctified and look more like Jesus, just get married. And then if you want to learn how to be more sanctified, just have a kid. And then go overseas and try and pioneer a house of prayer for 4 months while you're newlyweds. Do all of that. And you will probably come out looking more like Jesus with the grace, by the grace of the Lord and only the grace of the Lord. But we're in need of this. We're being sanctified daily, and his word, meditation in his word, helps us in this. Okay, 4, there's great wisdom in meditating on the word. As the depths of his ways are revealed in the word, then comes the fear of the Lord. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, because it produces obedience in our heart, wisdom is obeying his word. Joshua 1:8, you're probably familiar with. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God's after 100% obedience. And as we long for the Lord, I find that when my heart is alive for the Lord, I want to, when I know how he feels about me from revelation in his word or spending time with him, it makes me want to obey him. It makes me want to sprint the course of obedience and wholehearted love, right? It takes God, you hear it, it takes God to love God. And we love because he first loved us. He is wanting to grow us in this, and I'm thankful for that. Okay, let's go to page 4. Number 7, to meditate on the word is to meditate on Jesus. His word is the knowledge of God. His ways and his very word are life-giving, and they're filled with light. I love Hebrews 5. I'm sure you have heard sermons on this. 12 through 14, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so the writer of Hebrews here is encouraging believers. He's saying, hey, it can, you know, do you want to go from milk to solid food? And there's been a backsliding here. Let me tell you what needs to happen. You need to be strengthened. You need to learn how to chew solid food. And I like to liken milk versus solid food too. Milk is, it can be easy to just receive understanding from someone else's teaching or someone else's sermon. You know, you just drink it, you swallow it down. We get truths from it, but it's up to us to chew on the truths that are given to us, and that is learning to chew that solid food. I also love Proverbs 2. I think this is connected. Proverbs 2 is saying, cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And this is, I'm just connecting this to being able to discern what is good and what is evil. And the only way we can do this is if we know what the Lord says, right? If we know what he believes for us, if we know his plans, his purposes, his truths, then we're able to discern what is good, what is evil. Also, senses being exercised is mentioned here. I think when we give ourselves to meditation, ask the question, Lord, open my senses. Like, he gives us 5 senses, and I have so like bypassed this in the past when it comes to my devotion times, like being okay with not smelling what the presence of the Lord is like. He smells. He says he smells our prayers. Our prayers are fragrance to him. It's worship to him on an altar going before him. He smells. And he wants us to smell. Have any of you ever smelled anything in the spirit? Yeah, it's pretty awesome, right? And so many times I think we just forget about those. I forget about those. We use them every day, but we forget that the Lord wants us to be connected in the spirit in that way with all 5 senses, that we could see, that we could touch, that we could hear, that we could smell. So this happens as we go deeper in meditation as well. I'm finding that back home as we're doing this as a group. We're asking each other, did you smell anything? What did you see? What pictures did you get? And the fear of the Lord as well. The fear of the Lord comes. How many of you know we need the fear of the Lord? It drives us to holiness. It encourages us to be like the Lord. When the fear of the Lord is alive and active because we're pursuing it, sin is less appealing. It just is. And our devotion, we're able to wholeheartedly chase after the Lord and what is true. Okay, let's go to page 5. Any comments so far? Questions. Is Ben still around here? I want him to give a testimony. If you can hear me, Ben, eventually I want you to give a testimony on our meditation times. I think he's feeding Noah for me. Okay, so our tool today, I'm just going to go ahead and show you guys. If you have your notebooks, how many of you have your, or who doesn't have their notebooks right now? That's okay. Have you received one before? No? Okay, we'll get you a notebook. Thanks, Christy. That's right. Christy's got what you need. Okay, so if you open your notebooks, I'm not sure off the top of my head where exactly this is placed, but there is a... I didn't bring mine up with me. There is a meditation sheet. It's a blank sheet. Oh, thanks. Yes, so it looks like this. It's right past one of the orange sheets in the middle. So we've given you this just to go ahead and get you started. I actually just use a legal pad when I do it for myself, and I draw the lines because I guess I could print out one of these, but I like legal pads. I'm just a little funny. I like because I can just keep everything right here in one place, right? And I can flip back easily and see what the Lord was saying in a different time. Okay, so you can just as easily draw this, just a few lines out on your paper when you do start doing this back home. And I'm just going to tell you about that, about the model, and then I'm going to explain it to you. Oh, I do have it in here. Okay, so Revelation by Meditation, that's the name of the model. And there are 5 steps that are included within this model to help, simply help us stay engaged. And once you learn the steps and begin to do it over and over and over again, it will feel less structured. It will feel less like you're going through the steps. I did this teaching in Asia, and the Chinese believers were so amazing. They just operate with such a high spirit of excellence, and they love doing things like line upon line. And they would literally like read it, then they would write it, then they would sing it, say it, pray it. They would continue to go over and over and over again. They're actually getting stressed out. And we're like, no, this is, you don't have to feel the pressure of not missing a step in order to do this right. And it's not about doing anything right, honestly. You all have ways in which you come before the Lord, and you have your own tools, put it that way, that are helpful for you to get into the place of study and meditation on the Word. Those are awesome. This is just another tool you stick in your belt. So we actually demonstrated it to them. And I literally read it and sang it and walked around and prayed it. And they're like, oh, okay. And I like to say it's more like a dance. Once you understand the steps, it's like a dance. And the more you do it, you don't have to think about it. You just do it. Okay, so there are 5 steps. Read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. So it's right there, paragraph A on page 5. I don't know if I mentioned that. And Kirk says it says recipe. It really doesn't look like recipe, but whatever. It's a recipe for encountering the Lord is what he likes to say, and it really is. Okay, so we have those 5 steps. Again, it's don't feel pressured with them. This is just to help you. So on your page, you'll see on the right-hand side, there's a column that says tasks or to-do list on that sheet that you just turned to. And this is, when I come into the place of meditation, I go ahead and I just list off the things that are fresh on my mind that day, because chances are I already have a to-do list and it needs to get out of my head. And this is so helpful. It, in one sense, it's like taking your thoughts captive, right? It's like, go ahead, and if those thoughts come to your mind as you're meditating on the word, you can just write them down. I've got to pay the bills. Oh no. And it can be in a moment where we're going from Psalm 27:4 to our bills, the bills. What have I not done? I need to get online right now and do that. I've done it before. So why not go ahead and give yourself permission to be undistracted by taking that and just writing it down. Then you have pursuits at the bottom. This is something that I found really helpful as well, because if you're like me, my brain gets going 100 miles an hour and I start thinking of other places in scripture that relate to where I'm going, and I want to flip there and cross-reference, which is totally fine. It's not against any rule. But I found it helpful to simply, rather than keeping my Bible open after I write my passage that I'm going to be meditating on, I'll just close it and put that aside so that it'll keep me from going all over the place. That way I can stay engaged asking the Lord questions only about the phrase I'm meditating on in scripture. Does that make sense? So it's not a bad thing at all. And I also encourage people, if you have a verse that just comes to mind and you just know it, write it down whenever that comes, because that's a part of the spirit of revelation that God is giving you on that particular truth. So if you're tempted to run and cross-reference and go on a fun bunny trail adventure in the Word, rather than doing it in that very moment, go ahead and write down the scripture or a topic that you want to study later in the pursuits. So then you'll see that big open spot in the middle, the body of your page. This is where you're going to write truths that you're receiving from the Lord, pictures, songs that you're receiving from the Lord as well. Anything and everything that's touching your heart or the way your mind's being illuminated to know truth in that moment, to go ahead and write it down as best you can. And then at the very top, that's where we're going to write our whole scripture out today together before we jump into worship with the Word. And from Psalm 27:4, I want to encourage you guys to pick a small phrase. So, to dwell in the house of the Lord all my days, if that is going to be my phrase. And after you write the whole scripture down at the very top, close your Bible, ask the Lord which phrase, or maybe a phrase just has already jumped out within that verse. Eventually, as you do this more and more, you can do more meditation times on that verse. You could do the whole verse. But I found it helpful to focus in. Sometimes people have taken a couple of words and the Lord's given them 6 pages of revelation. I have heard of a story where a girl took "For God so loved the world," that Psalm 3:16, and just took "For God." She couldn't get past "For God." 6 pages later, I mean, I didn't get a chance to read what she had, but apparently it was pretty awesome. The Lord was encountering her on "For God." You can take, the phrase can be as small or as big as you want it to be, but I've found taking smaller phrases is helpful each time I come into it. So you would just highlight or circle, underline, whatever you like to do, which phrase you want to focus on. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about the steps that are helpful. So there's the structure for you. Anybody have any questions on the structure so far? Pretty simple. Yes, ma'am.
If you already have a structure, can you do that instead?
Absolutely. Yep. During this worship with the Word time, you do whatever you want to do to study in the Word. I'm just presenting another tool that you could later study in, use to study it, should you want to. You do whatever you like. Awesome. Okay, so back on page 5, read it. So we're going to read our phrase or the verse several times slowly. And I remind myself that it's more important to let the word read me rather than me just read the word, because we can read and skim so fast. But if we take time to read the word slowly and pause and linger, it is so, you'll find that when you give space and room for the Holy Spirit to highlight something to us, he really will do it rather than just reading through to read through. The word's living and active. You guys believe it? It is living, it is active. So I promise you, you're going to hear from the Lord during this time. I've already shared the rest of that. So let's go on to the next page. I shared that earlier. I jump around. So someone shared this with me one time, and I thought it was really interesting, related to why meditate in this way. It's far more than just simply reading the text to check it off our to-do list or task list, but we are called to be disciples, right? Disciples of Jesus. And in Jesus's day, a rabbi wanted disciples rather than students. And what I mean by that is a student would want to know just what the teacher knew, to receive information. Like in school, you remember, at least this was true for me, I just want to be a good student and do what needs to be done, right, to pass that course. But a disciple is someone who actually wants to be like the rabbi. So if a rabbi had disciples, it was very serious. Like they would follow, they would watch everything the rabbi did, the way he studied the Torah, the way he lived his life. They would follow him like disciples, Jesus' disciples. They did what he did. They followed him. They slept with him. They ate with him. They watched him. They listened to him. It was a part of their lifestyle to be like the rabbi. And they wanted to know what he knows, yes, but they wanted to see what he sees, not to pass a test, but to become like him. So here's this behold, become. You become what you behold principle. This happens when we spend time meditating on his word. And this is a part of that. The word will read you. The Spirit, the word says that the Spirit searches the deep things of the Lord and makes them known to us, right? And that's what's going to happen in our meditation time. So it's more than just reading. We want it to read us in that way. We want to become like him, and this will happen. Okay, going down to write it. So we have read it. Next one is write it. So write the verse exactly as it is in the very beginning, then write your phrase as well, or circle it. Close your Bible, as I said earlier. Once you have the verse and the phrase, you don't want another one pulling you away. Writing the Word of God helps us slow down and process it. Does that help anyone else? Do we have any journalers in the room? Any scribes and the anointing of scribes? Yeah, it's really helpful to write it down. It's like our hand is doing something and our eyes are seeing what we're doing. And multiple, like many things are happening all at once when we're writing. So this is a powerful way to meditate as well. So write down what you're receiving, as I mentioned earlier. Okay, say it. Say the verse or phrase aloud. Say aloud for our ears to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear ourselves say something, you might not feel it or at the time, or see it or hear it at the time, but our hearts, our souls are responding or will respond to the Spirit of God on the inside when we're declaring truth. And so it's helpful for our ears to hear ourselves speak it, even when it comes to speaking a truth over yourself. Anybody found when you're speaking truth over yourself, you start to feel different? Yeah, if you're doing it in like, I've spent, you know, 15, 20 minutes before just speaking truth, testing to see would I really feel different. If I could focus in for a solid 15, 20 minutes on just declaring truth over myself, I wonder what would happen. And it works. It works. I'm telling you. Okay, so saying it, we want our ears to hear it. Okay, next, flip the page over, page 7. Sing it. How many of you can remember commercial jingles from when you were like 15 years old still, right? They're still in my head. I sometimes pop them out and Ben's like, where do you get that from? Like just random, like, what is the Band-Aid one? I am stuck on Band-Aid brand, so germs don't stick on me. Dun, 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 dun. Seriously, it's in my head. I will never forget the words of that stupid jingle because they put it to, bless you, they put it to a melody that was easy to remember. And they put words to a melody and it is literally implanted right here in my brain. And I never tried to learn that stupid song ever. But it's there and I'll never lose it, probably. Unless my mind really does get renewed. That'd be awesome. But I can still remember of those. Some of you guys can as well. Singing is a means to unlocking our heart. And I always remind my teams of this, the meditation teams, like, guys, if you start to get stuck, just sing that word. Sing that phrase over and over again. You don't have to don't worry about getting something in that moment. Just sing. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in his presence. Just singing and sing it over and over and over again. And I found I'll sing it over and over and over again. All of a sudden, I am hearing something overlapping that truth. And it's like one thing, I heard myself sing that. And all of a sudden, as I sang that, I'm also seeing myself only focused on the Lord. It's the one thing. Sitting at his feet. You know, you'll hear, you'll see pictures as you sing. But that is one way that our hearts are unlocked. Take your isolated phrase and sing it over and over and over again. Use the melody or harmony that you're hearing in here because the singers are going to be doing this as well. They're going to be doing the worship with the word model. So you'll see them going through. They're going to highlight that whole verse, Psalm 27:4, and then the prayer leader will highlight a phrase from it. The singers will sing around that phrase and develop a chorus. So you can join in with them even and receive while we're doing it. But take the melody from that and sing your verse or your phrase with that. You've heard it before. The prayer room is called a singing seminary. Think of all the songs that have stuck in your head. Now imagine the power of the Word of God put to song in your head. It's powerful. Okay. This is one of the easiest ways I've found to get my heart feeling engaged as well when I'm meditating. Paul even commands in Colossians 3:16 that the word that we sing so that the Word of God and wisdom would dwell in us richly. I love that. And if you don't think you can sing, just sing loud. The Lord said, make a joyful noise, right? He didn't say, make a pretty noise. He just said, make a joyful noise. So sing loud. We give you permission. Okay, so our next step we have so far, what have we done? Read it. Read your phrase. Write it. Say it. Sing it. And here we are, pray it. Prayer is a divine means of communion with God, and you guys are praying people. I know you know that. So we can, when we are focused on the praying part, when that's something that we do in our tool, we want to personalize it and pray it back to him. This is really important. Pray the actual scripture and pray the things he's revealed to you from the text. Insert your name in it, even. You can do that. It's legal. You'll ask him to shape you into the person that he sees you as, excuse me, and reveals to you in his word. Prayer takes a much deeper dive when you press beyond your requests and petitions to the place where his words are in you, in that place of prayer. And this is something I could never go deep enough when it comes to the place of prayer and praying his word back to him. Because many times there is totally a place for petitioning the Lord. It's very biblical. asking of him, intercession. There's totally a place for that. Even your prayer list, you have a prayer list that you speak to the Lord about on a daily basis. There is a place for that. And there's also a place for simply declaring the word to him and ministering to the Lord. You'll find as you focus on ministering to the Lord, nothing ministers more to his heart than his own word, right? It can't get any better than that. Us speaking his word back to him. And as the more we do it, the more we focus on giving him the praise, telling him who he is, the more we begin to see ourselves as he sees us. It is just, it's automatic. It's an automatic transfer. It happens. So again, as we're praying it, personalize it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you tell me that you make it known that you desire that I would be in your temple with you where you are, gazing on your beauty. Oh, Lord, I want to gaze on your beauty. Help me to have eyes only for you. Give me a deeper capacity to be able to sit and behold you. Okay, lastly, related to this little tool, schedule time to meditate. The reality is that if we don't make ourselves do it, then we will seldom find ourselves meditating on the word. If we don't schedule our own time, someone or something else will, right? Anybody have that happen to them? Good, I'm not alone. So schedule it in. And again, I just encourage you guys. I see a lot of you who know each other in here. You probably do Bible studies and stuff together. Take this tool, take a couple of good friends, three or four of you, do it once a week and see how alive your hearts become for the Lord and towards one another. Because I'm finding that my heart is getting knitted together in the spirit with my friends that are doing this with me every week. And we are discovering each other in a way that we wouldn't should we just be getting together over some good barbecue, right? Now, not against getting together over barbecue, because good fellowship happens in that place. I know, I'm from Kansas City, like the barbecue. But I am finding that I'm getting to know them far more deeper as I'm in the Word. It's like we get before God, we come out, and we talk about how our time was, and I know my husband better because of the way I've heard him describe the Lord and describe how the Lord spoke to him. Okay. So we've gone over our steps. Who can repeat them again? Amen. Okay, again, just a little reminder, because we're going to take a break here and come back in and do this together. Distractions are going to come. So go ahead and remember, just write those down on your to-do list. And that way it's just off the forefront of your mind so you can stay focused. Yes, question. Or comment. Yeah. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Yes, great question. Yeah, great question. So, and that's something you're ahead of the game, because that was something I wanted to mention before we head into our break, is how do we do this related to our worship of the word time today? And really, you can do this anywhere. You can do this at home. I do it in my own quiet time at home. When I first started doing it, I only lasted for 45 minutes, like 40 to 45 minutes. I was just like, oh, this is hard. And it was hard for me because I was focused so hard on, I have to get something deep. Oh, if I don't get something deep, then I've lost my 45 minutes, and I became so focused on what I wasn't getting that I missed the whole point of it, which was simply to get before the Lord and ask him questions about his word and get before him and minister to him. The more I focused on that, the longer my time went. And so you could do it however short of amount of time you want to do or long. It's really up to you. And then when we do our meditation teams in Kansas City, we like to do it during a set because it's 2 hours. So we do 30 minutes briefing, with our little team, a group of people that we're doing it with in a side room. We talk about the scripture for a minute. We ask each other how we're doing, if we can pray for one another for anything. And then we head into the prayer room and we spend an hour and a half or hour and 15 meditating on that scripture. And then we get together for 45 minutes after and we debrief. And so today we're in worship with the word, and it's just a, I love doing meditation, the meditation tool in worship with the word, because for me, I get a little, it's not impossible to do it during an intercession set, but it's more difficult, I find, because it's just a different context. Like, I want to start interceding for our topic, and that is totally fine, but that's what corporate intercession times are for. So I find that doing this tool, actually, I can dial down and focus in on during the worship with the word sets. And especially since we're going to be on, we did it intentionally, but we're going to be on this same verse. So the singers are going to be singing and developing understanding in choruses based on this scripture as well. So as you do this, I want to encourage you guys, we're watching the model, because that's one thing we're focused on here this week, is learning how to do the harp and bowl model. So I want you to feel permission as well to see and keep tracking with what's happening up on stage, because we're learning many things all at once and we're doing many things together right now. But this is just a tool that you can use today in your own personal time. Did that answer your question? Yes, so as long or as short of amount of time as you want to. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a great question. I really think it's up to the individual, honestly. Some people can take a longer portion of the, like a phrase, a longer phrase within a scripture passage and be able to focus in on it, you know, for a long period of time. And that's just, it really, it's up to you. It's up. There's no perfect formula or way. Answer, like, you know, just do 2 words or just do 10 words, or it won't work if you only do 2, or it won't work if you do 10. It's up to you. Again, I'll just highlight, for me, I've just found it helpful, and my friends doing this, to take smaller portions, break it up that way, and then do more meditation times on that verse to do the whole verse. But I love chewing on the smaller phrases, the shorter phrases. It's just, there's so much truth, and it's stretching, because it really does prove to us the point. The Bible is far more deep than it is wide, because he will give you so, so much, or can give you so much on just a few words, as well as many words. So all that to say, it's up to you. Do however much or how little you want. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, this is... It's the Lord. It's simple. We get before him, we ask him questions, and he really does speak. I love that. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Hi.
This is
great question. So we presented it in different ways when I did this in China, because of the nature of their context, the underground church, like, they have to be very careful. And so we presented it in a few different ways. Like, you can do it individually by yourself with some music. Or if you can't have music, you can come up with a little melody line yourself. We can all come up with something to sing to by ourselves, or adding music to it if you want to do it that way. We presented it in a couple of different ways, group-wise, saying that they actually really took to doing it all the steps together. It's just their culture. Right. So, right. So I'm just going to keep sharing just a couple of different ways, because someone else might find that way beneficial as well. But they would read it aloud and hear each other read it aloud. They would sing it aloud and take turns singing it. They would say it, pray it, and hear each other as they did, go around in a circle. That's just something that they wanted to do. And they came up with their own melodies. So that was cool. So the way that we do it, we have the prayer room. So we go into the prayer room. That's our music. We don't sit together necessarily. We kind of just, we split up, and it's helpful. All of us receive and focus and engage in different ways. Like me, I like to sit still. And my husband likes to pace. And so we'd all disperse and go find our own seats, and we would just give ourselves a time limit, and we would say, okay, we're going to meditate for an hour and 15 minutes. And we'd all pick our own phrases. Sometimes we'll do the same phrase. That's fun. And then after that hour and 15 minutes of doing this tool individually in our own seats in the prayer room, we'd get back together for 45 minutes, and we would say, okay, so we actually, because we have a large group and I like structure, I was like, okay, let's all come up with a summary statement at the end. And this is just practical. You don't have to do this. But practically, it just helps facilitate the time, the debrief time, to give everyone a little bit of practical instruction so that everyone will have a chance to share, because some people could share for 15, 20 minutes, and some people might just have 2 or 3 minutes. And I found that by giving a little bit of practical structure on the front end, it will help the person who may not feel like they received a ton to feel safe. Because what they received was just as valid and just as important. And so what we have in place, structure-wise, is, okay, you all come up with a summary statement by the very end, and then you'll share your summary statement of what the Lord showed you. It could have been a picture, could have been thoughts, you could have heard something, it could have been a song, the questions that you asked the Lord, and he answered, or he gave you more questions to ask. So come with that summary statement, 2 to 3 sentences, and share that with us. I say get 2 to 3 points within that summary statement and spend a few minutes. I give them like 3-4 minutes, because really they'll go 5 minutes. Give us 3 to 4 minutes on your summary statement, and highlight those points, expound on your points for us. And so that, I found that it just creates a safe environment for the person who may have been doing this for years, and it feels easy to be able to come in and share, and it be just as easy and helpful and beneficial, what's the word I'm looking for, encouraging for the person that's new as well. Is that helpful? Yeah, so, and really it's all you guys do, however you want to build it, so to speak. But I will say, doing it with the group is so much fun. So much fun. I feel like I've gone deeper doing it, actually, with my friends. Yes, Amy. I love it. I didn't even see our kids back there. Hi, you're hiding behind the pillar. Yes, this is absolutely, I'm so glad you brought that up, Amy. Yes, kids can totally do this and love to do this. And that is a very creative way. Giving them color, some way to color what the Lord's giving them. I love that. Amy, do it. Woo, she's gone. So, she's on it already. So yes, she's going to get something for you guys. And then if we don't have any other pressing questions right now, I want to give you guys time to take a break before we jump into the set. Everybody okay? Good? All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We'll see you in 10 minutes.